When I was living in Davis, and this was 89 and 90, I was working on a graduate degree, and in the midst of that experience, my father got ill and died relatively quickly. And you know, it's pretty devastating, as you can imagine, if you've lost someone like a parent. And once I got over the shock of the experience, I started writing a little bit about it. And I don't know, my tendency is that sometimes you have to laugh at the darkest things or they eat you. So I tried to write some things that would do that. Now, I had written a poem in which I imagined, death coming to him like a lover or a woman, to take him gently. That was a way of kind of finding comfort. And I brought this poem to a class that I was in to read it. And, the title was Death is a Woman, and man, did I get the skin go right off me. And I was defiant about that, because nobody knew. I don't think they paid attention to what was happening. But Sandy McPherson, who teaches at UC Davis, still said to me, why does that have to be a woman? Why can't it be a mailman or a grocery store person? And I said, okay. So I went home and wrote three more poems in the same form. And I collected them into a group of four. The last one is My Revenge. It's the original. This is from Never Summer. And it's called Death Sweet, as in S-U-I-T. 1. Death is a mailman who comes to you in the afternoon with a letter you don't want. Postage due, certified, your name and address unmistakably on the front. He hands you his pen and says, sign it. Death walks the sidewalks with amazing grace, blue uniform, shorts creased in snow, a smile impossibly white. He looks like a civil servant should. The dogs that chase him chomp their teeth on empty air. Death is a mailman you don't know. He'll bring you junk mail, circulars, bright advertisements, bills, debris from the dead letter office. Don't shake his grizzled hand in the glaring sun in the afternoon on your front porch, when mailboxes ache with emptiness, when sinister packages lurk in his shadowy bag. One of the letters he hands you could be an invitation. 2. Death is a third baseman who throws the ball to you at first base, where you stand with your glove poised and ready to catch, and you know you must not drop the ball, the damn ball, coming your way as if on a clothesline. Death caught the ball on a Sunday hop. Effortlessly, he bent at the knee, turned to the left in a perfect pivot, scooping air inside his leathered hand, and turned again to face you. His uniform is caked with mud, the baseball, very white. Red seams come out of his hand on a spiral spinning clockwise, a screwball drifting just to your left and up. But you're not up to bat now. You must catch his toss. It's the third out of the last inning of a rain-shortened playoff game. You'll miss the series, though your team will play and wear black armbands for you. 3. Death is a waitress who brings you a menu, a colorful menu, with just one entree. She hands the plastic-coated thing to you, seated in the smoking section. You ask for a cocktail. She just shakes her head, hand on ample hip, and clicks her gum through pale green lips. Each patron of the place looks nervous. Each stabs at the dish in front of him with fork or spoon or knife. It's life they want to eat. Just one more bite and possibly dessert. Retirement cookies or a slice of golf vacation pie. No dice. The waitress, she can wait forever. Phantom cooks amid black pots and pans will flip and sizzle burgers in the back all night at her command. She doesn't have to write your order down or bring your check. She doesn't count on you to leave the tent. Four, death is a leper. Who comes to you in the morning in your bed, when your eyes are poor and adjusting to light, when the night still spits its wet scent into the air, when streets steam and streetlights flicker and go out. Death lifts the covers from you, slips beside and takes your hand. So cold is her skin, you take a deeper breath, release each of your dreams from its thin strand, knowing you soon will wake. Death is a lover you haven't met. She brings you something to drink, and drink it until you know her better, can describe her blonde and silky hair to strangers well enough to scare them. She comes in the morning of your life, before you're ready, her hands so graceful as she holds you, finding their way inside your body with a pain too hard and fine to explain.